This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
So I was a Christian for 7 years, and I'd been taught, and this is what I want to share on this morning, I'd been taught that as a Christian, there's this oxymoron phrase in the body of Christ that's been around for years. And if you don't want to know, if you don't know what an oxymoron is like this, like seriously funny. Right, the living dead, right? That's an oxymoron, okay? So jumbo shrimp, yeah, that's another oxymoron. So I like that one. and so there's this, what I'd been taught, and this isn't me blaming anyone, but because you have a Bible for yourself and you can read it for yourself, but I'd been taught that we're sinners saved by grace. Oh, you went quiet there. That's an oxymoron. And I'll show you why. And so at the age of 21, I'd lived 7 years like that as a Christian. And when I was on the plane ride home, I said to God, if I'm coming home to do ministry, because I had a feeling that's what he was calling me back into or calling me into, I said, I don't want to be just sitting in row 5 and doing the church. I just am not interested in that at all. I want to see the sick healed, the lame walk. I want to see everything in this book come alive. And I said, surely there's more to the gospel than I'm experiencing right now. And I'd been living, I was heavily addicted to pornography, and I'd been living kind of I was living in this world of where I'd do things for God. I'd read my Bible, I'd go to church, I'd do all these things. And then I'm like, oh, God's well pleased with me. And then I'd sin or I'd stuff up or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, now he's not pleased with me. And now I've got to work my way back up to a healthy relationship with God, and I got to impress him again, and I've got to do all these things so that he'll be well pleased with me. Anyone else been in that place before or just me? Okay. And so that's how I lived for 7 years as a Christian. I'd go to church on Sunday. I'd hear a self-help message mostly, and then I'd do well, and then by Thursday I was back into the same habits again. And then I'd go and confess my sins on Sunday and just go through that pattern for about 7 years, thereabouts. Yeah? And so that took place. But then when I came home, I stumbled across this message called Is Your House Still Haunted? And I listened to it. It was an audio message on YouTube. And I listened to it, and I had a five-hour encounter with God on my living room floor. And I woke up from that encounter. I can tell you what happened, but I don't need to go into the details right now. I woke up from that encounter and I was completely transformed. I had this desire in me to not look at pornography ever again, and never have from that moment on. And the Lord began to reveal to me that you're not a sinner saved by grace, you're actually a saint, sanctified and holy. What is the scripture says? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away, doesn't keep you in it. Come on. What is, we call ourselves as Christians, we call ourselves born. Well, you're not born again from sin into sin. You're born again from a sinner. You were a sinner. People say, oh yeah, that's, you're positionally a saint. No, you weren't a positional sinner, you were a sinner. And the only way you become a new creation in Christ is you say, it doesn't matter how good or works you do, it doesn't matter, you could go to church your whole life, you could read your Bible, that doesn't make you a Christian. And people often say, Liam, I don't know about this because, you know, I sinned last week. Well, Adam and Eve did not sin out of a sinful nature. They didn't have a sinful nature. Come on. And so, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Come on, this is in your Bible, right? And so Jesus, it says in 1 John 3:5, it says, for this reason Jesus came. To destroy sin. Hebrews 9:28 says, Jesus is coming back a second time, not to deal with sin. Why? Because he dealt with it really good the first time. It's the problem, it was the root cause problem of humanity was sin. And that's what Jesus came to deal with. What does Paul write his letters to? He doesn't write to the sinners at Ephesus. He writes to the saints, which means sanctified one. And so when we're born into this fallen world and we give ourselves over to sin. But then when we give our life to Jesus, we become born again. John 1:12 says we're born from above. Noah is a picture of the baptism. The sinful nature of in the land, Noah, when Noah's time, God wipes it out and leaves no remnant of that land left and goes into the new one. That's what baptism is. You're death to the old man and alive to the new one. Go to Romans 6 for me. I'm going to show you in your Bibles. I'm going to try and do this in like 15 minutes. All right, Romans 6. The Bible teaches us that Jesus didn't just die for you, but he died as you. Right? He didn't just die for you, he died as you. Let me put it this way. Belief determines behavior. Right? If you believe you're a sinner saved by grace, oxymoron, you will sin by faith. And that's what I thought for 7 years. I was like, oh, I'm a sinner. Well, if I'm a sinner, I'll sin. It's just a natural byproduct. When I started to realize, and these scriptures I'm about to show you, I started to unpack, I'm like, oh, I'm a saint. It's not because I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about him. This is what he did on the cross. John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know it, says, you're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. I'm a builder. I'm not a like carpenter builder, but I love building culture in our church, in life, in our families and businesses and things like that. I love building culture, and the foundation that I believe that we need to have is we need to know who we are and we need to know who God is. And we have this phrase in our church that Jesus is the truth about you. I can bark like a dog. It doesn't make me a dog. It just means I'm ignorant. If I was to say what is one of the most epidemic things happening in our world right now, you would say it's identity. You'd have to, even if you're not a believer in God. You just have to say we're living in an identity crisis. And that to me says... That to me says that what is valuable to God, the enemy will attack the most. Do you know this, that the enemy came to Eve before she was named? She wasn't yet named Eve. So the enemy comes to Eve because she doesn't have an identity. It's only after the fall that Adam calls her Eve. All right, let's go Romans 5:18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, talking about Adam, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abound all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Keep going because there's no chapters in Paul's letters. So chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Keep going, stay with me. For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 6, we know that our old self is slowly over a period of time being crucified. Was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin, he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Did you catch it? So you must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. So you're dead to sin. It was crucified. Galatians 5 says, gives a list of the passions of the flesh. And then he says, oh, but those were crucified and you're now living by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, it says that. Go one more verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey whose passions? Its passions. Whose passions are they? Sins. Why do we wear armor? We don't wear armor to keep the sin in. Come on. How do you keep yourself? You know, the Bible says, it says, keep yourself holy and blameless. I heard this all the time. Out of the heart, the issues of life flow. If your heart's wicked and deceitful, like it says in Jeremiah, but if you just read two chapters later, it says, Jeremiah, it says, oh, but I desire to give you a new heart and a heart to know me, right? If your heart's wicked and deceitful, why are you trying to guard it? Stop guarding it. If you're wearing the armor of God, what are you protecting yourself from? If there's sin inside, you're protecting yourself from the fiery darts that come against you. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. That tells me it's not in your mortal body. Let me just be really graphic. Sorry for the visual people in the room. Circumcision. Circumcision. It's not a lengthy process. It's a one-time event. Swing, done, right? So Paul describes it as the circumcision of our heart. Colossians describes it as we were in the domain of darkness and in a one-time process called born again, you're transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. I'm not preaching you can't sin. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I'm preaching that you are a saint, you're sanctified and holy, and the Christian life is you learning how to outwork that which Christ has already done. That's the difference. The difference is changing from I need to work to get salvation as opposed to I have been sanctified and now I outwork the Christian life. Right? I'm married to my wife. I'm not becoming more married. I can't. But I can learn how to have an awesome relationship with my wife. And the difference for me was I changed from walking out my front door thinking I've got to not sin, 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 to I walk out my front door and I go, how can I have an awesome relationship with Jesus? I'm not walking out my front door trying not to have an affair. But for a long time and for a lot of the church, that's how it's been presented. don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't do all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know too many people have a strong enough will to be able to withhold that, as opposed to, you've made me right. What? Hang on. You've made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. While we were yet sinners, he died for us so that we can get what he deserved. In the world's way of thinking, the number one question that you ask in the world is, what do you do? What do you do for a job? That's the number one question that people get asked. So in the world's way of thinking, you do to get your identity and then you're accepted. I'm a lawyer. I have a nice car. I have a nice house. I do these things. I'm accepted. And that gives me my sense of identity. In the kingdom of God, you're accepted in the beloved. Oh, but I didn't do anything to deserve it. Yeah, that's the point. And then that gives you your identity as a son or a daughter of God. And then out of that, you do whatever it is that he's calling you to do. It's flipped. Does that make sense? When my daughter was born, the first one, Charlie, God spoke to me and he said, Liam, you love that child, because I didn't know if it was a girl or a boy. We didn't know if it was a girl or a boy. He said, you love that child 100%. I said, yeah. He says, it's never performed a single day in its life. It's just eaten through an umbilical cord. It's done nothing, right? It's just there. And he said, and when it's born, the first person, generally, this is the way that it's, you know, it doesn't always happen like this, but generally this is what happens. The first person that it meets is the father, because they were the ones that would catch it. He says, that is like the way I see the world. He said, Liam, I love every child on the planet, whether they know me or they don't know me. And the world is like a womb waiting for children, sons and daughters of God, to be birthed. If we go on in Romans 8 says this. You can turn there, but I'm just going to read it to you. So then, brothers, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. I don't know if you know this. I was never adopted into that family officially, but we did a lot of research on adoption at the time. I don't think I'm wrong on this, but I don't know every country's adoption laws, but I've looked into a lot of them, and as far as I'm concerned, 100% of them, once you're adopted, you can't be unadopted. See, when you're born again, you're born from sin into victory. That's why he says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're now a saint, you're a son, you're a daughter. He's not, if you can only be free from the sinful nature in this world when you die, then death is your savior, not Jesus. You're born again, you're born from above. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, Jesus, so you are in this world. One more scripture and then I've got a little analogy. Go to 2 Peter 1. Is this okay? You guys all right? You're alive? Paul says in Galatians, he says, it's for freedom's sake that I set you free. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? What you've received through grace, you're now trying to get through the law." When Paul says in Romans 5, he says, "Where sin abound, grace abound all the more." The analogy I like to put with that is this, is if you're doing 100 kilometers an hour in a 60 kilometer hour zone and you get pulled over by the police and you don't get a ticket, that's called mercy. You were doing the wrong thing, you deserve to get punished, and you got mercy. The cop didn't give you a ticket. Grace, righteousness, is you're doing 100 kilometer hour in a 60K zone, and the cop says, pulls you over, he says, "I'm not going to give you a ticket, but what I'm also going to do is I'm going to give you a brand new car. I'm going to give you a brand new engine, and I'm going to actually teach you how to drive correctly." That's grace. Grace, God says, "All right, I'm going to take that sinful nature. I'm going to destroy it. I'm not going to keep you in it. I'm going to destroy it. I'm not just going to cover you in your sin. I'm going to deposit me, God, inside of you." Right? I'm going to give you a brand new engine. I'm going to give you a brand new heart called the circumcision of your heart. And now what I want you to do is I want you to learn, discover who you've become, not develop who you've become. My daughter cannot become more my daughter. She's fully mine. Doesn't matter what she does, she'll always be my daughter. She can't unbe my daughter. She's mine. Now, she can be silly and do crazy stuff. She's still my daughter. That's the undeserved favor of God. That's the kindness of God, that he says, "While you were in your sin, I died, not just for you, but I died as if I was dying as you on the cross, so that I can deposit me inside of you, so you can look exactly like I look." So when Jesus sees you, he doesn't. God's not looking through the lens of Jesus to see you. He sees you in the best version of you. It's not like Jesus is standing in front of God going, "Oh God, they're really still sinners. I didn't do a good enough job on the cross." Come on. You go, why is this important? This is important because it says you've been adopted as sons and daughters, and God's not coming back for a like institution. He's coming back for a family who know their father. And we can when we stuff up, when we do something wrong, we boldly enter the throne room of God out of confidence, not out of judgment, not out of condemnation. We run to God, not from God, because we rightly see who God has made us to be. Amen? So 2 Peter 1, and then we're going to do this passage. So, yeah, it might be better up there. Dan, do you want to grab his thing? All right. His divine, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Why would God require us as humans to be equally yoked and then not require that of his bride? It's a good thought. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. There you go. You've escaped it. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Wow. You were cleansed. It's like this. Can you all see this? We're going to finish with this. All right, if this is the Trinity, can you guys see that over there? That's a very light pulpit. So if you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Bible, the Holy Spirit. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they made Adam in their likeness, Genesis 1, in the image of God. Do you know that word image in Genesis 1 is the word idol? God made an idol out of himself. That's why he says, don't make any other idols because I made them good. I made good images of me. Don't you try and create images of you or images of God. So he makes Adam, and it says that God walked in the cool of the day. So Adam had access to the Trinity, had access to God, and he could just come and go as he pleased. And they walked in the Ruach, the breath of God, in the cool of the day, right? And then instant coffee, for all your coffee snobs in here, that's sin. That's demonic, right? That's a joke, right? But I think it is. I think instant. Sorry if you drink instant coffee. No judgment, right? Right. And so instant coffee. And this is how I used to live. Well, I'd read my Bible. I'd help the little old lady across the road. I'd you know, not swear. I'd do all these things. Whatever it was, right? I'd do all this stuff. But the reality was that my nature still was the same. My nature didn't change. The inward reality of my heart was still sinful. And it didn't matter what I did. I went to church. I did all these things. I could do good works. I could even go to the prayer meeting. Whatever it was, my nature did not change. And what happened at baptism is often what we think happened in Christianity is we think that God, well, he what he does is he we're still in sin and Jesus is standing in front of the way of the Father, but we're still sinful. And nothing actually ever changes internally. And then what it does is it makes us ineffective because we're so busy navel-gazing, trying to, you can't outrun yourself. So God's a genius. He's like, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to fix you. I don't want to fix you. I want to kill you. I want to kill your old nature. Don't resurrect that man. He's the only one you should never resurrect, right? I'm going to kill him. And then what I'm going to do is the same spirit that gives life to you is going to be the same spirit. If you imagine this is your body now. That one's dead. And the Holy Spirit's going to take up residency and live inside you. And now you're compatible with the Trinity again. Because as he is, Jesus, so you are in this world. And the old is gone, the new has come. Now you can roll around in sin all you like. This isn't go home and sin and get away with it. Righteousness is you're in right standing and now you can live the life that you were actually created to live because you've been separated out of the world, but you're still in the world. And the only reason we don't live like that is either we're unaware or we've forgotten who God has actually created us to be. And you're born again. That's what the born again life is. You're born again and now we're discovering who God has actually made us to be. And we get to represent him well. And the way we grow in understanding is through intimacy with God. It's not through greater works. It's not just through repetition. It's through a real relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with the Son, and we get to know them and they get to know us. Or you say, oh, but they do know us. Yeah, but they want intimacy. They want relationship. God wants relationship. My daughters don't come through Daniel or Shells to get to me. They come directly to the Father. Amen. And I just encourage you, this radically, whoa, man, that pulpit weighs a ton. I need to work out more. lovers will always get more work done than workers will. And I really believe what the Lord's amping up right now, obviously he's been doing it for a long time, but he's really amping up this thing of destroying this mindset of we're sinners saved by grace. We were sinners and now we're saints. And when we realize that, we represent him well. We represent him well to the world around us. 1 John 2 says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It doesn't say when you sin. The word sin is a noun. It's a person. Jesus killed that person when you became born again. And then he deposited himself inside you. Isn't that awesome? So this is what I want to do. I'm going to get the guys up if they've got any words. And then we're just going to minister. So if these guys have...
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.